From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheese, Shawa, Tuxknusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, local author and poet Misty St. Clair has a new book out with a launch event next Tuesday, June 2nd at Spice Cafe. We have a preview and some poems. The Juno Chamber of Commerce is here with some updates and other news. But let's start today with the Southeast Alaska Independent Living. They're going to be offering some workshops on self-directed care next Thursday and Friday. And they're going to have options on details, how it all works, what it is. And our guest this afternoon is Maggie Winston. She's co-executive director of the Independent Living Center on the Kenai Peninsula, but she is currently at a conference in Minnesota. And so she joins us via the power of the interwebs. Gunath Cheese, Sha Igudi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you here with us. Maggie, can you hear us okay?
Loud and clear. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you here. So it's really cool that self-direction is coming to Alaska, but I also need to start with, what is that? What is self-direction? What is patient-directed care?
Yeah. So participant-directed care, we call it. Yes. And so every other state has this option currently. And what it is for individuals with a disability that use Medicaid. It is another option for home and community-based services. So if you have a disability, you need some help at home with your activities of daily living. So if that's getting dressed, if that's cleaning your house, if that's preparing meals, if that's getting to doctor's appointments, these kind of things. And then you use a Medicaid waiver, then participant-directed care is where you get to be the legal employer of the people that come help you. So currently, we have in Alaska, the only way to get this is through the traditional model, where you need a provider agency to hire the people that care for you. They set the wage for these people and have really the full control. So in self-direction or participant-directed services, the person with a disability gets to do all of that and be in full control of their life. Say, who gets to come into their home? Who gets to put their hands on me when and how I say?
Right. So the current model you have to go through a provider and you don't really have as much choice in that perhaps. And so this is really, sounds like it's going to be providing a lot more agency for people.
Absolutely. And that's really that independent living philosophy where the person with a disability has options, they have the choice and the control, really the autonomy to make informed decisions and to be able to do that as independently as possible.
That's really cool. Now, next week, I have a couple of flyers here that show me some information. There's two different workshops. There's going to be one on Thursday, June 4th. From 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. These are both, I think, going to be out at the Valley Library in the large conference room out there. But this particular day is for individuals, so not necessarily care providers. You've broken it up into two different sessions. And one day will be for those people who are interested in making this happen. And I think the next day is for those who are providing that care. And so on Friday, June 5th, it's going to be from 1 to 3. So it's a little bit different. The timing is a little bit different. Can you tell me, for those who are interested in coming to the participant workshop on Thursday, what they will be learning about?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's starting out with a little bit of self-direction 101. What is it? Mm-hmm. Who does it? Who participates? What does it look like, or what can that feel like for people? So we're inviting individuals, we're inviting family members, anyone that might be interested in self-direction as an option. We're on the road, actually. We're going all over. We're doing workshops or community forums, we're calling them. We're starting out in Juneau. The next week will be in Fairbanks. The next week will be in Anchorage, Matsu, and Kenai, and Soldotna, all in the same week. And really just trying to educate everyone, as many people as possible, because there is so much confusion and so many questions, which is why we broke it up between like care coordinators and providers and individuals and families. We understand the questions are going to be different. People might not want to get as into the weeds, but we are prepared for all of the above.
It sounds like the difference between, I mean, this sounds better than some of the analogy I'm about to make, but it sounds like a little bit between the difference between like a pension and a 401k, whereas a pension, you didn't really have to think about it. Somebody else was managing the money and doing all the things. Whereas this, with like a 401k, you are having to figure out, because now I have to sort of say, oh, I need to know like reviews of caregivers, and I need to know who possibly those caregivers are, and I have to figure out. So you're doing, since you're sort of like the CEO now of your care, but it's really awesome because you're getting that agency, and you can be like, yeah, I don't like that particular review for that place, and that's the place I don't want to have in my home, or as you say, putting their hands on me. And so you get that power, which I think is just fantastic. And so, again, this isn't just for the one on Thursday, June 4th, from 4:30 to 6:30 out at the Valley Library, not just for participants, but it's also family and then caregivers, like people in your family who are maybe helping you out, right? So it's like it's that side of it, the patient side of it, people who are interested or family members who might be helping you out. Am I correct about that, Maggie?
Yeah. Yes. The participant side.
Yeah.
We, as independent living advocates, or, you know, and just people with disabilities, focus on what's called the social model of support, and different than that medical model, where it's like, yes, we might have conditions and things, you know, that we need treatment in our bodies. But when it comes to living and life, we focus on strengths, and we focus on a meaningful life in particular. And that means kind of a shift in language, and also that choice, that agency, and that control, that we as people with disabilities are the experts in our lives and in our own care. And that means we know what is best. We know who is best for us. We want all of the power and control to be able to do all of that. So that means choosing people. So it could be my friend, it could be my neighbor, it could be my family member. And I pick them, I set their wage and how much they get paid based on a budget. So it's not just necessarily a free-for-all, but it's based on a budget that you get, and you have some help to determine what that is and how you spend it on who.
Did you say earlier that Alaska is like the only state that doesn't have this?
I did. Yeah. So as far as a Medicaid-funded self-direction program, Alaska is the only state without one. We do have a veterans program. So that's funded by the VA, obviously different agencies and so different. But essentially, it can work exactly the same way. But we are trying to get that big systems change project to go through so that it's a Medicaid-funded project.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it hasn't gone through yet. Is this something that has to be done through sort of governmental support or something?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yes. It's going to take some regulation change, some amendments to the waivers that we already utilize here in Alaska. So the wheels are grinding. The wheels are turning. We're actually here in Minnesota right now in Minneapolis at a self-direction conference, and we have some state leadership here with us, a member from the trust and two members from Senior and Disabilities Services. So a team of eight of us all together, advocates, people that work at centers, state people, trust people, and a DSP, a pretty nice Alaska cohort learning and working together.
That's amazing. That's really excellent. I just want to look at this other one that's on Friday just to see. So this one is for care coordinators or providers of Medicaid waiver services. That's the one that would be on Friday. That's June 5th from 1 to 3 p.m. That's out at the Valley Public Library. Is there anything specific that these care coordinators or providers need to know about this workshop that's coming up on that Friday?
I would say just come with your questions. Mm-hmm. The main goal of these community forums is that we get good information from Alaskans on what they would like to see a self-direction program do for them. We want to know from care coordinators and providers about the participants they serve, the Alaskans you serve, what would work best? How can we build this? So, like I said, because Alaska is the only state without this option, we get to cherry pick from all these other states that are doing it well and that have seen big problems with the way it's not working well. So we want to cut out the BS and really add, like build from the bottom up a beautiful program that will work well for the most people.
Absolutely. Okay. And so for more information, of course, you can also email info@saleinc.org. That's Southeast Alaska Independent Living. That's info@saleinc.org. Or you can call their number, which is 800-478-7245. They're the ones who are hosting Maggie next week to be here to give these workshops. And as Maggie mentioned, they're going to be going all around the state, so you can let folks know in other parts of the state to look out for these workshops that are coming up, probably organized through the other independent living organizations that are in those various towns, and that's the best way to get the word out. I know SAIL also has a Facebook page, and they have these flyers up on there, so you can go take a look at those flyers there on the webpage. Maggie, how's the weather out there in Minneapolis? Is it nice?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's 90 degrees right now.
Oh my God.
I was wearing a purple leather jacket all day long and had to come back to the hotel and change up. It's just gorgeous. Blue sky, so much heat.
I love that. That's so great. Well, enjoy the rest of your time there in Minnesota, and we'll see you next week here in Juneau. These, again, are the self-directed workshops that are going to be happening next Thursday and Friday out at the Valley Public Library. Our guest was Maggie Winston from the Independent Living Center up there in the Kenai Peninsula. Thank you so much, Maggie. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we'll be talking about the Misty St. Clair book launch event.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwan'ish George Davis. And the word this week is Atanhiddi.
Atanhiddi.
That means smokehouse. And here is a sentence.
Atanhiddi chasayati duchad.
He hung his fish in the smokehouse. Let's hear it again.
Atanhiddi.
Smokehouse. Gunas Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska for this audio.
Kakwan'ish George Davis was Tukdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwe Di man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juneau at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. That right there is a song called Caravan. It's a new album called Caravan from Blackwater Railroad, that awesome Alaska State band that everybody loves. They're going to be in Juneau tomorrow night, playing in town. And you can also catch them over on KXLL, our sister station, with Kelly, DJ Kelly, at 4 p.m. on Passenger Princess. They're going to stop by before they rock out in the evening, and you can go check out their album anywhere that albums are available. Next Tuesday, June 2nd, Misty St. Clair will be reading from her new work, Reconciliations, along with readings by local poets Alira Jensen, Jonas Lamb, and Emily Wall. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. At Spice Cafe downtown. Due to a work schedule conflict, extra legislative sessions and such, Misty can't be here today. However, I do have two awesome friends of the show in the studio now. I have Jonas and Emily here to share more about this event. Gwyneth Cheese, Shot Yadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you again. How are you today, Emily?
I'm good. Thanks for having us, Boston.
Awesome. And Wasi Yadi to you. How are you today, Jonas?
Gwyneth Cheese, Boston. Thanks for having us.
Of course. It's a pleasure. So we're getting the word out about this event. This is a really cool thing. Now, Jonas, in your note to me, I thought this was funny. In your note to me before, you know, you all are in a writing group, and you can't, you don't, there's no real term for like a group of poets. And so I was looking around for different terms, and I just wanted to run a couple by you. That I thought, because a lot of times you just say a group or a collective or something like that. But I was thinking there was a couple suggestions here. A meter of poets, you know, a stanza of poets.
That's better.
But that seems, but a stanza, isn't a stanza like just like one, is that a group of lines, a stanza, like one group of lines?
It's exactly. Like a poem paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I like this one too, a reverie. Of poems, of reverie. Poets, reverie of poets.
I like it.
So I don't know if you, because so you all, you and you two and Misty and Alira, you're all in a poetry group together, a writing confab.
We are, yeah. We meet once a month, and it's fantastic. We really support each other's work. We swap poems, we give each other advice, read them to each other. Share ideas about where to publish. It's great.
That's really cool. And Jonas, you were on the show last year, your book, What Does Turtle Blood Taste Like, right? And how's that going that the book's out? Does it feel like it's been long gone now? Because was that about a year ago?
It was in the fall.
The fall, okay.
It does feel like a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's still weird, but it's a good weird, right? Like I see people in the community and they say, I read your book, or they text me a photo of their wife reading the book at their coffee table. And I have to talk to strangers about poetry, which is not an easy thing to do, but I'm getting better at it.
Why is it not easy? Is it difficult because it's like so personal, or?
A little bit of that, but I think, one, if someone wants to talk to me about poetry, I need to jump on that because some people don't want to even engage with poetry, or they're reluctant, or they're intimidated by it in mm-hmm. some way, shape, or form. And in my work, I'm really striving to, like, you know, break down those barriers. And
right.
Here's just a poem about, like, drinking in the laundry room while washing washable diapers, right?
Right,
like,
right,
it's
right.
Just part of life. But I think it's just, like, an exercise in being humble. And I think it's great that here in Juneau, there's so many writers that people have access to. You just stumble, you're on food land, and you get a chance to talk to somebody who has a new book out.
I was talking to Emily about this before the show. Like, I'm always amazed at how many writers there are, not just in Juneau, but in Southeast total. Mm-hmm. But, like, in these remote locations. But I do feel like, well, writing you can do anywhere. And then it's just a matter of, you know, how do you get your work out there, right? Which we'll talk about that with this one. It's really cool. But, like, that idea of, you know, being, and then Emily was saying that the writers here everybody's like in it together, right? It's like a really great writing community here. And Emily, you're out at the university teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you feel like the kids are these days with poetry? I'm really curious about that. I know you do Tidal Echoes every year, but I'm just curious, like, where are we at with it, with the kids?
They're amazing, frankly. I mean, I feel so lucky to sit in a room with them. One thing that I love about UAS students, first of all, they come in with great stories, most of them. They just had interesting experiences. But the thing I really love is, and we practice this in class, is bravery. And they it takes them a minute, but they get really brave and they're writing really cool stuff. So I feel like a lot of my work is just helping them polish their stories and saying, yes, everyone wants to hear this story. Like, do it. You can do this. You can be brave about this. And in workshop, hearing other students lift each other up is really amazing, where they're like, you're doing great. Let's change this a little bit, clarify this, and now go publish it. Like, really lifting each other.
Well, and it seems like, too, with poetry, that there's so many forms, right? Or styles. I don't even know what you – genres maybe even. Like, but there's – genre, I guess, is more like the type of story you're telling maybe. But, like – there's definitely forms, right? Like the different form. And does that get – I was wondering when you were saying about talking to people about poetry, it sort of reminds me like when I was in marketing in the old days. And, you know, everybody's a marketer, right? Everybody knows where the things should be marketed. But it's actual – there's a science to it, right? There's structure and there's things that you learn about marketing that, you know, you just can't throw it in there. But I'm just curious, like in everyday – and I don't know anything about poetry – I mean, I know of haiku and I know of, you know, sonnets and I know of those kinds of forms. But when you're having like general conversations with people, what is the sort of feeling you get from folks? Is it something that's sort of like away from them that they're trying to grab onto? Or is it just something they love the imagery? Or what do you feel like most people are coming at it from, like a layman's area?
That's a tough one. I mean, some of what I've heard are people just relating to some of the poetry that I've written that's about kind of place and the neighborhood and these old houses and this battle to maintain old houses in Juneau. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe there's a little bit of surprise and that they're encountering poetry that's that down to earth, right? It's like poetry about scraping and painting your house. Like that's lowbrow, or that's not intellectual, or maybe it is, or maybe it's an entryway for them to try poetry.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
They don't really ask me if I write in forms. And the only time I ever really talk about forms is when I'm talking to mathematicians, because I think they get really into the idea that you have to follow this formula.
Everything is math.
And right. Emily teaches a crazy good class on poetic forms.
Well, in the end, Emily, does it even matter, the form? Because really what it is about connecting to people, right? If people are connecting to the work, it's maybe more behind the scenes, the form part of it for the poet, as opposed to like the person to be like a just an appreciator of it. They don't have to necessarily understand what's happening with the poem if it moves them.
I think that's true. I mean, I think it depends on the form. Some forms are a lot more subtle. I mean, even something that's in a couplet, you know, Misty has a lot of what's technically forms in here, quatrains, couplets, that kind of thing. You don't have to know anything about that to love her poems and to read them.
Right.
Some of the other forms I think are more intrusive. You know, Villanelle, Sestina's, you're going to notice it. You're going to be like, wait, didn't I just read that line? But I think that those kinds of forms can, even if you don't technically know the name or understand it, can have a huge emotional impact on the way you feel about it. Just like having music in a poem.
Right.
It can really touch you and make you think like, oh my God, there's that line again, but now it means something totally different. So it can have a big impact.
I see. Okay. That's really cool. I mean, I just love the idea of poetry, and I love that we're having a book launch. We're celebrating Misty St. Clair, who has a new book, Reconciliations, which is going to be at Spice Cafe next Tuesday, June 2nd from 5 to 7 p.m. And she's bringing along her whole reverie of poets to read. And you're going to read your own work, or are you reading her work?
I'm going to read one of hers.
You're going to read on Tuesday. You're all reading her work.
No, sorry. I thought you meant right now. On Tuesday, I'm going to read one of mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're all going to share a little bit of your own work on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But today, we're lucky enough, the book is out, and it's available. Where is it going to be available? Anywhere you can get it, pretty much?
Well, Olga will be at the reading selling it.
Okay, great.
So Hearthside, of course, will have it.
Yeah. Great.
And I mean, anywhere else you can get it, bookshop.org.
Buy it local, though. Buy local.
You should buy it from Hearthside, definitely. Yeah.
That's really cool. So, and we do have the opportunity to hear a couple of poems today. Emily's going to read one. Jonas is going to read one from Misty's new book, Reconciliations. Let's go ahead and maybe hear one from Emily. Do you want to start?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
This is called Wolf in September, and Misty just emailed me this morning and said this was a crazy moment. She was walking in the basin and came around a corner, and there was a wolf in the middle of Basin Road.
Cool.
Yeah, who didn't look at her, and she looked at it. It was a kind of a cool moment. I kind of love the story. So this is Wolf in September. The cottonwoods were edging yellow, the willows waving their medallions over the bank of the river. It was unusually sunny with a vague golden warmth. There was the good sky, the spruce up the hill a strong green. And there, between the river and forest, taking as much room on the trail as some prehistoric giant, stood a wolf, ears forward and attentive to the water, his amber coat like a mottled nugget. Memory is elusive and makes good stories, but it feels like all I remember is true. He was so close, I could see his guard hails, ruffling in the small breeze, the spidery bend of those long, lanky limbs, and the gray pads of his paws as he trotted, soundless, to the flashing river. He must have known I was there, yet he had not glanced my way, never flicked an ear, as if I saw without being seen. When I moved down the trail and stood where he stood, I swear I felt something rise, as if he had lifted a wide, heavy paw from my sternum. The space he left was that generous.
Wow. That's amazing.
That last line knocks me out.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
When you're writing poetry, it's sort of, there's economy, right? Because you're also, you know, stripping away probably. Do you tend to, for both of you, this can be for both of you, but like when you're writing, and I don't know how Misty works, but like in your group, maybe you all know, do you write like a lot and then strip it away? Or are you torturing yourself over every line as you write? Torturing is a strong word, but
yeah, I think it's much larger in the first version, and then it gets stripped back and rearranged, and
right.
And your friends at group say you need to start with that last line, or this is where the heart of the poem is. Get rid of the rest of it.
You make me think of a story. Lanford Wilson, who's a famous playwright, no longer with us, but he was teaching playwriting to people, and he would say, to a lot of the playwrights, he would say, keep the last scene, throw the rest of the play away, and start writing from the last scene on. Because sometimes it takes a while to get to the meat, right? And you're sort of willowing around, you're waddling around in an idea. What about you, Emily? Do you have an idea in your head, or do you go long form and then strip away?
Neither really. Yeah. I almost always start with an image or a story moment.
Okay.
I try not to start with an idea because then the poem doesn't go anywhere interesting.
Ah.
But I do a lot of stripping. I think for me, particularly the beginnings and the ends, I find I can often, as Jonah said, in my class we call that throat clearing. We're always like, cut the throat clearing, which is the first, 10 lines. Because as you said, it takes a minute to get there. But I'm also interested in endings. I mean, I think Misty is a master at endings because my students and I often feel like we go to this old human impulse of then summing up what we've already said. So we have to strip that away.
Right.
Try to end on that like drum beat rather than some kind of like, and this is what I said moment.
Yeah, it's nice when you get something like that where you get to sort of your breath taken away a little bit at the end of that poem there. That's kind of cool. So when you think of an idea, or you have an image, not an idea, but let's say you see something in your brain, your mind's eye, and then you're trying to describe that or figure out what that image is telling you and how to get the words down on the page.
Yeah, exactly. And I try not to know where it's going. Like, I'm working on a poem that I started just describing this armchair that my dad sat in. No one else was allowed to sit in his armchair. And I was like, I don't know where this poem's going to go. I'm just going to talk about the chair. And the one time I sat in it, so just like that, I'm just starting with that moment, but I try not to know what I want to say because I will write something polite if I do that. So I try to just go, and then I'm like, wow, okay, that's where that went. That's going to be a more interesting poem, I think, if I let my mind unravel it rather than create a path for myself.
What happened when you sat in the chair?
It was an interesting moment. I kind of realized, why is this his chair? Mm. This is a great chair. Great chair. I was pissed. I was nine. It was an interesting moment for me, but I think I wouldn't have remembered that moment of starting to understand the force of my father and my family if I hadn't started with a chair. I couldn't start with a poem about him, you know? Right, so I started there, and it took me to this memory I didn't even realize I had, which
that's
was kind
amazing.
Of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great acting teacher, again, no longer with us, Sanford Meisner, and one of the first things he says, you made me think of this because you were talking about this, but he basically says, F nice, right? You can't worry about that. You can't worry about that. You have to play the moment or you have to write the moment. You can all, because you're not showing it to anybody yet, but you have to, like, you can't edit yourself, right? You have to just get it out there and then you can sort of revise and figure out what it's actually going on. What about for you, Jonas, when you're starting? Do you start with that idea of an image or how does it work for you?
I don't know. I'm a messy writer. often the feedback is, well, there's a lot of vivid imagery and the sound of it is amazing, but like, where's the speaker? It's kind of disembodied. It's not clear to us where this is coming from or where this is situated. I think, you know, my brain races a lot. So sometimes poetry is just a way to try to harness that or get a saddle on it. But definitely like writing into that, that vulnerable place, writing to where, you know, I start welling up or I'm like, ooh, what's behind this door? You know, you're onto something good.
And when it gets scary,
yeah.
Right? When it gets scary, that's when you know, okay, I'm hitting the mark a little bit here. Yeah. That's kind of interesting. I mean, as an actor, I was interpreting text, you know, most of the time. So I wasn't writing it, but you still had this. I had the same experience where if you're trying to play something that maybe is a little bit away from you or is, you know, some area of your, you know, psyche that you don't want to touch, that's when it actually gets good. And I've heard that advice to a lot of people. It's like, if you are scared of something, do it, right? Try it, make it happen and see where it goes from there. You know, it's that first step, right, into the fear of the unknown that you got to take, which is, I remember writing poetry in high school. It was just, you know, and you find it like 10 years later and you're like, wow, this is really overly sentimental about some girl or about some stupid thing that, you know, that you're obsessed over at the time, Cracker Jacks or I don't know, whatever, but it's kind of wild. So let's read a little more of Misty. So you're going to read another this is Misty St. Clair's new book, Reconciliations. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. We're talking about this event that's going to be happening at Spice next Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. On June 2nd, there are going to be a group, plurality of poets there on Tuesday who are going to be reading their work. And then Misty will also be sharing this book, and you'll be able to get a copy there on Tuesday as well. But what is this poem that you're going to read for us, Jonas?
Well, I think you teed this one up nicely. So
I
think another amazing thing about poetry is like playing with language or making up language even. And so this piece is called For the Adultings. And Misty shared that, you know, this is kind of a hopeful little honest poem about the advice we give to our children as parents on how to live. But she was struggling to come up with a term, right? Like, they're not our kids anymore, really. They're becoming these adults. So this is For the Adultings. Turn your face upward. Always. When you can, sleep outside. Sleep next to rivers and listen to moving water. Move toward something that makes you small and the universe big. You will be happier. You will be happier if you are kind. Kindness is usually ordinary. See the ordinary as the holy. Pick the longest line and wait. Patience is a capacity. Expand to new dimensions. You will be stronger. You will be stronger if you feed your mind. Find your bliss and follow it. Know your appetites and control them. Aim for tensile strength. It's okay if some things are mysterious. Mystery invites vulnerability. You will be more vulnerable if you admit some things are like a scrawl of cursive across the back of the eyes. Be open to more so that you may notice more. Ask what is necessary. Stop struggling. Accept struggle against your biases. Whatever you do, make room for contradictions. Believe in nothing for sure, except believe the world has more good than bad. Trust in the endings. Listen. Listening is as close to love as life is to water. Surrender control and love greatly. Love greatly, though you will suffer from this.
Love greatly, but you will suffer from this. Also, the other one is my whole life is know your appetites and how to control them. I'm still working on that.
Me too.
That's excellent. This is going to be a fantastic book launch. It's next Tuesday at Spice Cafe from 5 to 7 p.m. I know you can go, I believe it's mistystclair.com is her website. Emily, where do we find your work?
Also at Hearthside.
Also at Hearthside, okay.
Yeah.
And where do we find your work at, Jonas? Do you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah, you can find me at jonaslampoetry.com and books at Hearthside and Rainy Retreat.
Rainy Retreat, awesome, yeah. Support your local bookstores for sure. Really appreciate you both being here today. Gunathjish.
Gunathjish,
thank you. Thank you, Boston.
Absolutely. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We're going to take a listen to this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Jill Freitas. Jasmine High Eagle is the secretary for the Nez Perce Fish and Wildlife Commission and has spent her life fishing on Nez Perce lands. Our Living Lands producer Daniel Spalding spoke to High Eagle about how the changing climate is impacting fish and water.
Growing up Nimiipuu, what are some of your earliest memories of fishing and who taught you the importance of being on the river?
I was a big daddy's girl. Everything my dad did was what I wanted to do. When we would go fishing, whether that was dip netting or it was hook and line or gaffing, like my dad would do that, right? But we all did it. All us girls would do it too. But when we went to like driving, like I remember we were like at Looking Glass and dip netting and learning those roads. And I used to always be amazed how my dad could just like drive all these places, right? And without a Google map, without our maps or whatever. But the feeling, right? That feeling and that connection to the salmon and when you catch, you know, it's kind of indescribable to be able to do that. And there's this feeling like you know right when you're going to catch one. My earliest memory for like the Columbia River going down there in my adult years, I remember going down there and that's like a totally different water from our water, you know, from our tributaries that are up here in Idaho, Washington, like being told to respect it, you know, to not fear it, which resonated with me because like my dad would always leave offerings, you know, my dad would always, you know, we don't just are taking, you know, what we need. But I remember having to watch that water, learn that water, like build that relationship with that water to understand like how those eddies are moving and how the water is going. And I remember holding onto ropes and I remember just watching the water. I was told just to watch the water, sit with the water.
And I wanted to ask, you know, what does fishing represent or mean to you beyond food, you know, like culturally or as a way of staying connected to your family and identity?
It is relationship, responsibility, connection. It is returning to our lands, our waters, reconnecting with our relatives, you know, and our teachings, our identity. Like, I'm so grateful to be Nimiipuu, so grateful to be Nimiipuu, because I feel like when I'm on the river, I always say like my cup is being filled because like the healing that the salmon and the water and the land brings to me, like, is not measurable, you know, because I really do feel like that connection to like our past, to, you know, for like generations, like who stood in those same places, you know, like I shared being in that, recognizing like I've been here before, but also like while you're with your relatives.
And, you know, salmon have always been central to Nimiipuu culture, you know, way of life. Over the years, you know, what changes have you noticed in the river itself? And what concerns do you have when you look at today's salmon populations for the younger generations?
I feel like the biggest changes have been the size of the salmon runs, the size of the salmon, the water level, levels, the overall health of the river, invasive species, excessive algae that we call it muck, the muck buildup, right? And then like the polluted bank and shorelines, the increasing like the temperature of the water too. You know, the temperature of the water is a lot warmer. You know, it's the pollution, changing of the seasons in when the fish are running. My daughter, we were having a conversation and we talking salmon, talking hasu, right? Talking for like all our water relatives. What she shared with me, you know, is super important. She's like, Mom, I don't want to be a grandma or a mother that is only talking about the memories of our salmon. I don't want to be sharing how beautiful our salmon was, how beautiful our trips were, how beautiful the land and the water was. And that's the reality of what it could be. Like, that really is a reality. From the climate change, I was just at the Columbia River this last weekend, and like, it really does it. Like, it chokes me up and it brings me to tears thinking like, I'm going to take in this moment and I'm going to be very grateful for where I'm at right now and this opportunity, because just like us, it's not promised tomorrow. You know, it's not promised tomorrow. And like, for our relative, the salmon, like, isn't promised tomorrow. And that breaks my heart. Like, it breaks my heart because our salmon, you know, like, they aren't only like a food for us, you know, they are really a part of our identity. And I'm trying to instill that, you know, with my children, but also with anybody that's willing to participate, willing to learn, you know, because it really is that survival and that generations. That's that sustenance that has been taking care of us from time immemorial.
Tune in next week for more stories about how climate change affects tribal communities. I'm Jill Freitas for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk are ye tin. Jin katka ke jin talk anachaya ha anikach, gunish cheese.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little more Blackwater Railroad. That song is called Big Timber. That's the title track off their new album called Caravan. They'll be on Passenger Princess with DJ Kelly tomorrow at 4 p.m. over on KXLL before their performance tomorrow night here in Juno. Our final guests today are Becca Parks and Michaela Malaysia. No, I did. I, not even close. Say your last name for me, Michaela.
Molasson.
Okay. From the Juno Chamber of Commerce for our regular update on all things going on down at the chamber and, you know, business related and everything going on in town. And you know, what's going on is there's like six ships and five ships every day, it seems.
Oh,
like
there are a lot of ships. And I will say our folks downtown, I think, have been doing a great job of making sure that people are coming off and loving Juneau and having a great time. And it is, it's fun to see, to me, the streets downtown kind of filled with people from all over the world and in, you know, the bonus of spending money in our shops, but also just interacting with everybody here, too. I love this time of year.
Yeah, it's really fun to see them seeing Juneau with new eyes.
You know,
reminding ourselves, like, we live in a pretty great place. I mean, I think we know that, but then also, like, seeing people. My favorite thing is when people see eagles. Because people don't see eagles down in the States very often. And we're like, yeah, they're like, you know, pigeons here pretty much. Like, we see them all the time. But there were bears out on the front side of Egan
Four of them.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them. And people were pulling over and locals pulling over. And see, anytime you see a bear, though, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Right?
So well, and there was an eagle perched on the whale. When I was driving over the bridge the other day, and I thought, like, that is a special shot for the people that are down there getting that. I don't see them up there that often.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what is going on at the Chamber these days?
Well, I do think it's a lot of that. You know, we had we welcomed some new ships and some new cruise lines to town. So we got to have both MSC and Virgin Voyages in here, did plaque and key ceremonies to welcome them into Juneau.
Oh, cool.
And then the Star Princess has been here a couple times now. And that's
is that
exciting.
A really big one?
It's a really big one. And what's exciting about it is it's one of two LNG ships. So, you know, piloting that the new fuel coming into Juneau and hoping to see more of that option exercised as new ships come into Juneau.
And what's the difference there for people to understand what LNG is? What's the difference?
Oh, we should get another guest on to really talk about the technical side of it. But as I understand it, one just burns cleaner, it's lighter,
and it is the
overall
as much?
Pick. Is, okay. It's my understanding, the okay. water and air, but I don't want to misspeak
on it. Right.
But yeah, that is. It's the option that people are moving towards. It's a really big lift for the cruise companies to retrofit the ships. And so it's going to be slowly introduced, but everybody's working on it.
What do you think about, is there ever a day, like, you know how many electric cars there are now in Juneau? Is there ever a day where that could be a thing that ships do? Or is it just impossible because of how big they are? I mean, we're talking out
impossible.
Of school right now. We don't know anything.
Yeah. I would say nothing's impossible, though.
If somebody's out there who knows if that's even possible, let us know. That would be really cool. Because I think it would be really interesting to see. I mean, back in the day of, you know, steam powered and all that kind of stuff. But because fuel is, you know, it's really expensive right now. I had a U-Haul the other day, and I had to go get a couple gallons in it after I was done. I was like, whoa.
Yep.
I'm glad I have my little electric car. But yeah, that's pretty pricey.
Yeah.
But so we're welcoming new ships. That's really cool. Yeah.
Yep. Welcoming new ships. And then, you know, we're still tracking what's happening with the CBJ budget really closely. I would say that has been our major effort. Again, we'll say just how much we admire the folks on the assembly and our city staff, how hard they're working to make adjustments based on those ballot initiatives that passed last year. We are moving along in the process. They are moving along in the process. So they had a special assembly meeting at lunch today just to introduce some ordinances. They'll have a finance committee meeting on the 1st. Well, they'll have some more discussion on revenue generation and something we're watching closely with sales tax cap. And then the next chance for public testimony, I believe, is on June 8th. And that'll be an important assembly meeting where they take some votes on what may or may not happen with the budget.
Yeah, because people may have read stories here. KTO, our reporters have reported on it.
Yep.
Juneau Independent's done some reporting on it, sort of what they made decisions on sort of last Wednesday, I think it was. But those aren't final. Those could totally change. That was just like, here's what would happen potentially. But everything can change. And they even said that. They said, you know, we still got some time to figure some things out. So you still have time also probably to email your thoughts to the assembly in terms of what you think is important as a citizen of Juneau and what you think should happen. I mean, it seemed like this isn't really a political show here on Juneau Afternoon, but I do think that the people spoke up about the pools, and I think they heard that, right?
I think that's the big takeaway, is just that they really are listening.
Yeah.
You can hear assembly members reference letters that they've received, just counting numbers of things.
Yeah.
So I do think that's the important message, and it's not a political one, but the process is in action and people are listening. And I'd say the same from the chamber to our members, like reach out to us too. I had that opportunity to meet with one of our Rotary clubs yesterday, and they're were just comments of, you know, people whose voices might not be heard within different groups. And I said, the only way to change that is to speak up.
Yeah. And that's, I think that is the lesson here, is your voice is important and your voice can be heard, and the willingness to stand up and speak is wonderful. So Michaela, I want to talk to you a little bit too. So you're over there at the Juno Chamber. What is your position there, and what do you do? Becca says you're the backbone of what's going on over there.
Yeah, so I'm the executive assistant over there, and I have been for a bit over a year now. And there's been a lot of time that has been weird in the chamber since I've been there. There was a point in time where there was 2 months without anybody there except for me. So that was kind of like a deep dive into learning as much as I possibly could. So,
did it make you say, yeah, I don't want Becca's job? Is that what it is? You said, I'll stay in the executive assistant position. Thank you very much.
Precisely.
It does mean, though, if you want to know anything about the chamber, Michaela's person to really go to.
Right.
So I just, I keep the lights on. I keep things running over there.
And
so,
what were you doing before you started working at the chamber?
I was a barista at the Grind.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different of a switch from...
Yeah, I had some admin experience prior to that.
Okay.
I was an admin for a carpenters union up in Anchorage for a year. And when I was working there, I was solo in the office as well. I was the only employee, so I did everything. So going from that to the chamber and being by myself, it was super familiar, because I've kind of been in a position where I've had to run an office solo. So
Yeah. That's so cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite thing about working at the chamber?
Probably my one and only coworker, Becca Parks.
We've got a great office dog too.
Right.
Oh yes, we have Bowie.
Oh, you have what'd you say, office dog?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's really cool. Okay.
And I can't have dogs at my apartment, so I get to go to work and take Becca's dog as my own.
That's so nice. That's good. Okay. And so what else is going on with the chamber?
You know, I think just other exciting programmatic things. We launched a podcast.
Oh.
And it is up on our website. So if you go in under the member menu, we're just interviewing. It's called Business Voices, and interviewing business leaders, community leaders around the community. We're 4 episodes in. It has been so much fun and a really great way to get to know our members a little bit better and share not just, I think it's a lot of what you do on this show.
Yeah, I was
not
gonna just say, like, who's hosting this and why didn't I get a call? Just
well,
kidding.
Nate, I'll have you on as a guest. We'll switch up our roles. So we have that out. And again, it is part of our membership services. So it's to promote those businesses, to promote those leaders, but also to share the lessons they've learned through, you know, all of their experiences, specifically working in Juno. I think, you know, we've talked about it before, how great the business community in Juno is, because so much of it is collaborative and not competitive. And having a chance for our leaders to share tips and tricks that way has been really fun.
Yeah, I feel like it's a unique experience. I was just talking to the poets on the previous segment, and we were talking about how all the writers, they you know, support each other and lift each other up, and as opposed to maybe down south somewhere where it might be a little bit more competitive, or, you know, I want mine and I got to get mine. And there's uniqueness to working in Juno, whether you're an individual or a business owner. And that experience is wonderful to be shared, I feel like, because there's, you know, you don't want to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to reinvent the wheel every time, right? There's people who've done whatever it is you want to do. If you have an idea, somebody's done it probably. And so you can learn from those folks if you were trying to figure out how to start something. Because I think that might be a big hang up, right? So I feel like, same with poetry, was like to the idea of, oh yeah, I have an idea for a business, but the idea of doing it,
yeah,
like getting all the, you know, what do I have to, where do I even, where do I begin? right? So I guess listening to the podcast, maybe finding out some resources and where I would go to maybe even start that journey.
Yeah, we just had, you know, one of those first four guests was Jessica Russell, who just opened up Juno Cleaning a couple years ago. And she talked about that same exact experience being new to Juno and just being like, well, I wanted to do this one thing. But then as I was doing that, I discovered this other service was needed and went for it. And really just finding a small amount of capital and taking a risk is what it took, with lots of support from people in Juno. We've got great resources between all the economic development groups in town, JEDC, the Small Business Development Corporation. There's so many people out here ready to help.
That's great. So what's coming up next? What's happening in the future here? Michaela, you probably know.
Well, we know we've got a fun ribbon cutting coming up on June 11th.
The Alaska First Media one?
Yeah.
Okay, we have two.
That's right, we do.
Yeah, we have...
We'll talk about Alaska Media First, because we know what's coming with that one. And if you haven't been out, they've got new studios out in Mendenhall Mall.
Yeah, in the Mendenhall Mall. That's so great.
Such a different vibe than what they had out on Channel Drive. So it's worth, I hope we get to see you out there too, June 11th.
Cliff's my neighbor, so it's kind of fun.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. So it's like, did they renovate it, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole big space.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and they've got nice office spaces, lots of little studios so you can go and do different things. And it's just, it's bright and clean. And I think for them, the tech side of it looks like it's very well organized.
That's cool. So that's going to be on June 11th. They're going to have like a public ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Everybody's involved. You can go have snacks and drinks. I think they'll have out too.
Yep. We'll be there with the big scissors and a ribbon.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then you said there was a second one, Michaela?
I think we'll be ready to talk about that.
That one's in July, so we've got time.
Not prime time. Maybe next month.
Yeah. And we do have some more great luncheons coming up, though. That's one of our staple. Every Thursday, you can count on the Juno Chamber to have an informational luncheon. We follow those up with a little summary of what's happened in our Friday newsletter. And so this Thursday, we've got the general managers from both our mines coming out to give updates from the mines. And then the Thursday following that, we'll have Katie Harms from DIPAC. And the Thursday following that, we're going to have one for the two ballot initiatives that are out collecting petition signatures right now.
Oh, right.
For the mill rate, sort of the reversal on that, and a 1% sales tax, seasonal sales tax. So we'll have folks out to talk about those and hopefully a little bit of a primer on municipal funding mechanisms. So we, at those luncheons, there is a fee to attend. It's a little bit more affordable for members. We encourage members to come out, but they are open to anybody that wants to come and just learn more about the business community in that way. So the schedule and registration's both on our website, junochamber.com. Every week, we're out there with something new.
Every week, junochamber.com is the place to go. Really appreciate you both being here today, Michaela and Becca from the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Gonna cheese for being here.
I'm gonna cheese. Thank you.
That's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. We are Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Tomorrow we have author Rachel Weaver, and we'll have a preview of the canoe landing next week for Celebration. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gonna cheesh. Have a fantastic Wednesday.